Venerable brothers and sisters, dear parishioners, yesterday the gospel taken from St. Matthew was a reminder about the great evil of scandal. And we will hear this gospel again on Tuesday, on the Feast of the Holy Guardian Angels. And I would like to therefore reflect upon the sin of scandal today so that we may better avoid it, that we may better understand how harmful it is. And our Lord gives a very ringing condemnation of it. And he ties it together, or I should say he gives the reason for it, how terrible it is to show a child how to commit a sin. And then he says, because their angels always see the face of God. So our Lord is making that link between the fact that their angels are always seeing the face of God, they're always guarding those children, and in doing so, trying to keep them from any spiritual and even physical harm, how the angels weep, if they could, when someone shows them how to commit a sin. As our Lord says, woe to the world because of scandal, but it must needs be that scandal come. In other words, it's going to happen, unfortunately, because we live in this sinful, imperfect world. But our Lord is warning us to minimize it, to not have it, to not let it happen in our lives. And he gives that very striking analogy. He says, better to have a millstone hung around one's neck and be drowned in the sea than to scandalize one of these little ones. This is one of the most strong condemnations we will ever read anywhere in the New Testament spoken by our Lord. So what I wanted to use as a text for the sermon today is this excellent catechism, My Catholic Faith, and there is a entire lesson, number 109, on bad example and scandal. So let's go through this, and this will be obviously an examination of conscience for us as well, how to better avoid this evil of scandal. What is bad example? Bad example is doing wrong in the presence of others. Bad example is the principal occasion of scandal, which is occasioning the sin of another by any word or deed having at least the appearance of evil. If any help or encouragement is given in any way to cause another to do wrong, scandal is committed or given. When we look at the Greek word for scandal, it's skandalon. And what that means in the Greek language is stumbling block. And obviously, if somebody sees a sin being committed and there's any propensity or inclination to imitate that act, that bad action of another, obviously that is a stumbling block on the way to eternity. So we take this Greek word, stumbling block, and we apply it in the spiritual life. Interestingly, though, St. Paul talks about the scandal of the cross. And our Lord, it says in at least one place in Scripture, blessed is he who is not scandalized in me. And the meaning there is not a stumbling block in the sense of something bad, because how could the cross be bad? How could our Lord be bad? But what's being conveyed there is sometimes something good can be used as an excuse as a, to be a stumbling block. So something interesting to bear in mind. But obviously what we're talking about, when we're talking about the sin of scandal, scandalon, we're talking about a real stumbling block, something that gets in the way of somebody progressing spiritually. Why? Because they've shown how to commit a sin, and now they're starting to imitate that. Bad example and scandal are sins against the soul included in the fifth commandment. They injure our neighbor's soul, and so are worse evils than injuring his body. If we say that the soul is more important than the body, whatever injures the soul is a worse injury than what injures the body. They do the devil's work and draw souls into hell. If by deliberate scandal and bad example we cause another to commit a grave sin, we are worse than murderers. One who hurts or destroys the spiritual life of his neighbor commits the sin of murder. St. Augustine said, if thou persuade thy neighbor to sin, thou art his murderer. What a sobering thought, but it's true. Spiritual death occurs through mortal sin. And if somebody teaches somebody else how to commit it and that person does it, it's like giving poison to somebody. Here, take this. And the person dies. One is guilty of that sin of murder by offering that occasion. Grievous indeed must scandal be to make our gentle Lord use such strong words of condemnation. Woe to the man through whom scandal does come. My dear brethren, how many times has scandal come through us? To the number and extent it has, we are the ones our Lord was talking about. Woe to the man through whom scandal comes. We must repent of any time by action on our part we help bring somebody down spiritually. Some ways of giving bad example or scandal are by indecent talk, by selling or circulating bad books or pictures, by singing improper songs, by dressing immodestly, by appearing in public in a state of drunkenness, by profanity and cursing. My dear brethren, are we confessing these sins of scandal? If they are being committed, by doing servile work publicly on Sundays, by behaving indecorously in church, by ridiculing religion and priests, by writing against religion, by publicly violating one of the commandments of God or of the church. As the saying goes, no man is an island. What we do does affect others. We're not on this desert island all by ourselves and we have no influence on others. That is absolutely untrue. You could even say that we are always preaching one way or another. Actions speak louder than words. What are our actions? What are our words saying? To continue from the catechism, we should be very careful in our actions, however innocent, so that they may not be the cause of scandal to others. By committing scandalous acts, a person influences others to do the same. This is especially true of children who easily imitate their parents and elders. Again, to reflect on the fact that scandal is going to happen, I mean, isn't this the way most sins are learned? Isn't it because it was seen done by somebody else? Talks about parents not quarreling in the presence of their children. It's obviously not a good example to have their disagreements behind closed doors. There, those disagreements will be there. Also, a scandal would be to criticize or tear down priests or religious to one's children. Now, obviously, if there's a clearly a wrong action, we disapprove of it, but we have to be very careful not to be speaking ill in any unwarranted way against those that are consecrated to God. Also talks about public officials who break the law by gambling or immorality, give scandal. Older brothers who go to forbidden shows and other places of indecent entertainment, or who take their younger brothers with them, are guilty of scandal. Older sisters who are excessively vain give bad example to their younger sisters. And then there's another point to be made. We should avoid giving scandal as far as possible. We ought even to abstain from good actions of counsel if they may give scandal. For example, if one is dispensed from abstinence on account of bad health, he should refrain from eating meat in front of others in order to prevent their being scandalized. Otherwise, if there's necessity, he should explain why he can eat the meat. The aged Eleazar in the Old Testament preferred to die rather than to give the mere appearance that he was eating someone's pork, which was forbidden by the old law. He feared to scandalize young persons who might think he had gone over to the ranks of the heathen. So we read about that in Maccabees. One last question. What must we do if we have been the occasion of scandal or a bad example? If we have, we are bound to repair the mischief done. And this is very hard to do because we never know how far the effects of a bad action or even a good action, how far they will go. And for a bad action, an apology, some kind of amends would be in order. And at the very least, to show that that sin is not being committed anymore. That would be a way, a necessary way to repair any scandal that has been given. So, my dear brethren, let us be uplifting to others, not be a detriment. And one of the greatest toasts that I've ever heard at a wedding party was when the best man, speaking of his friend that who had gotten married that day, said, and I was just really struck by this. He said, I'm toasting to my good friend who entered into matrimony today, and I want you all to know that whenever I am around him, I am a better person, a better Catholic. May that be said of us, that whenever somebody was around us, they were the better for it, not the worse for it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.